Yeah, if that's all right, just to have a quick sort of 5-10 minute chat with you, really, about the GB Stevens students team and everything that went on in Brazil.
Yeah, no, sounds good.
Perfect. So, first off, just you took the as team manager for the GB Students Sevens team, you took the boys to Brazil and won the World Sevens University Sevens tournament. It must have been an amazing feeling.
Yeah, completely. It's a funny one. We're going in as defending champions, which some of the boys were aware of, some weren't. None of them had done it 2 years ago. A couple had been at the World University Games last year, knew what the score was. But it's a difficult one with sevens. You know, you want to do well and you expect to be there or thereabouts, but there's certainly no guarantees and there's no bankers. So, you know, we wanted to make sure we represented GB well. But to win it, it's almost a surprise, to be honest. You know, I think we always thought we were good enough to. But as I say, you never want to count your chickens and nail on that you expect to. So, yeah, it was an awesome experience for everyone, to be fair.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations again. And
thank you.
Before we go into the tournament itself, could you just explain a bit more exactly about your roles as team manager, I believe?
Yeah, so was asked by the students RFU to take on the manager's roles to kind of coordinate the logistics and putting the squad together, working with the coaches and the medical team to make sure everything was in place kind of, you know, before the tournament and then, you know, managing day-to-day stuff and the individuals once we're out there. So a fantastic opportunity and, you know, massive thanks must go to the RFU and the SRFU for asking me to, you know, take on the role, really. Quite challenging, a lot of work. You know, fortunately, it was in the off-season, so was able to to complete the admin as needed. But, it was all credit to the coaches in terms of, you know, their knowledge of the players, and then we coordinated effectively just to select the 12 that went. A few last-minute changes, which caused a few headaches because of injuries and things, but unfortunate for those guys, kind of just the nature of the beast. So trying to change flights and things for two players on the Friday when we were leaving on the Monday was a little bit stressful and a little bit manic. But all the boys got there in the end, so very pleased.
Fantastic. And so the tournament itself, how long has that been going? What's the history behind that?
This was the sixth one. So it's every 2 years. So it works alternatively with the World Student Games, which is kind of multi-sport. This was just men's and women's seven. The World Championship Series, so they run, I think it's about 13 or 15 different sports across the year. So I think rowing is in France in a week or so, you know, orienteering somewhere else. There's lots of different World Championships within that year, but they're just singular sports. So, as I say, GB have always medalled. And when they were in Brive in 2012, they won gold. So then that was the first time they'd won it. Before that,
fantastic.
It was in kind of variants of silvers and bronzes. So, and how Brazil ended up with it, I'm not sure. I don't actually know what the appointment process is. I think they just applied to the FISU, which is the kind of the World University governing body, effectively. I mean, 2016 is in Swansea, so we definitely picked a, you know, that would be great for a home tournament, but in terms of an experience to go away and see a foreign country.
Absolutely.
You know, we want a great trip, yeah.
Mm. And so, talking about the tournament itself, the actual other countries that came to Brazil, how many were there, and what were the sort of the big rugby nations who were there against you?
So, nine countries in total, which is smaller than they've had previously. I think there's kind of just the economy and state of university funding in a lot of countries meant, you know, in terms of the travel and the cost, they didn't commit to being there. In terms of the kind of the top sides, France always take a very strong squad. A lot of their players don't necessarily actually play on the equivalent level to our Bucks program. They'll all be based with pro sides or semi-pro sides.
Right.
So they are students, but they don't necessarily play on a Wednesday afternoon as our guys would.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a difference in level sometimes. Certainly in the 15s when we play them, that's the case. And a lot of those players have come out to Brazil as well. Brazil, as a home nation, were very, very strong. They're obviously targeting that as a home Olympics in 2016. So they're putting a lot of resources, kind of time and money into their program. So they were not a surprise, but they were certainly of a better level than maybe was expected. But then in front of a home crowd, you're always gonna up your game. Belgium, again, a very young side, but a very good side. They've played a lot in the FIRA tournaments together. They've found a core group of players and are kind of just throwing them at lots of tournaments, which is fantastic for those guys. Japan, probably in terms of performance wise, the unluckiest side there, to be fair. Very, very fit, well drilled, good skill levels, could have beaten France and could have beaten us and gone through top of our group, but lost with the last play of the game to us, and to be fair, we took our chances, or that chance, well in that game. It was the bounce of the ball. The Japanese guy thought it was a chip through, thought he grounded it. The French guy reckoned he got there first, and the call went with it was the French guy got there first. So they went out off the back of that. So genuinely could have gone either way in both games.
And so, Brazil themselves as a country, how did they? Obviously, I'm sure there was a fantastic welcome for such a big sporting event. But rugby itself is obviously not something they're known for. How was rugby welcomed over there with the locals and Brazil itself?
Yeah, I think they're really starting to get behind that. There was a big media push in San Jose dos Campos, who's on the TV. They've got some really good radio exposure and things. So they'd obviously been pushing it for a little while beforehand, which was great. The crowds weren't massive, which in all honesty, we weren't necessarily expecting.
But
I think there was some really, a good awareness of the tournament. And certainly, when we were out in the shopping mall and down in the centre of town and stuff, a lot of people were interested in what we were doing and why we were there, and the people that did know about the tournament were asking about it and stuff. So, I think it's one of those, certainly in terms of sevens, I think it's actually, that's probably the global appeal of the game. It's something quite quick and fast so they can get behind and across the board. You're never going to overtake football in a country like that, but I think it probably suits their flair and their kind of, persona as a country. I think there's a lot of that enjoyment of getting behind a free-flowing and a fast and exciting game. So, they certainly, the people that we spoke to and were involved with were very excited about it.
Fantastic. And for you guys in the tournament itself, you said there were some fantastic teams there. You mentioned the game with Japan. And France, who you mentioned as well, you had a difficult loss to them, I believe, in the group stages. How did the rest of the tournament go before you moved through towards the latter stages?
First game was pretty pleasing. We won that by genuinely time. I think that was against. It was the first game against.
Don't worry.
We'll check that. I think the issue with the group stage was we didn't ever put in a full performance. There were always little bits of a very pleasing performance, but we didn't quite nail down actually, 14 minutes of good rugby. We'd make some positives and then we'd follow that straight away with some real negatives and some bad errors. So I think the French game probably focused the boys. That was the second game. We'd won the first one Friday evening. That was our second game Friday night. And I think that probably focused the boys. They sat in the analysis session and just talked about it and said, ultimately, we got suckered into playing the way France wanted to play, not the way we wanted to play, and we didn't control the game. So I think that really focused them for the Saturday, which was good. Beat Namibia pretty comfortably and really took our chances there. And then Japan, as we say, all credit to Japan, very good side and difficult to beat and took our chance to win the game. So, again, didn't quite get Saturday 100%. There were still errors. I think the most pleasing thing about the Sunday in terms of the knockout was 4 minutes against Brazil, and they scored twice, and we just said, actually, hold on, we just got to get hold of the ball and keep it. Once we did that, we were in control, and to sneak that 12-10 probably sounds closer than maybe it was, but I think we were certainly, after that 4 minute stretch of, you know, 10 minutes and 14, we really dictated the game, and how we played, which was good. And then certainly the final, would definitely save the best till last. Belgium scored a breakaway just before half time, but outside of that, we controlled the pace, the tempo, and the territory, and really, really put them, you know, put them to the swords. Not necessarily in terms of scores, but in just how well we managed them out of the game.
Yeah.
Two very good scores from Roy McConachy. One from about 70 metres, which was, you know, pretty class. So, all in all, to get better and better, and to really nail down a performance in the finals that, you know, the boys said themselves, you can win it, that's great, but you want to play well. That's always the point there is perform first and you'll get the results you want. So I think the best thing for them and the coaches was actually the final performance was the best one of the lot.
Fantastic. And was it Belgium who you beat in the final who beat France?
Yes. Yeah. So Belgium beat
that
France.
That was the other semi. Yeah.
By one score, I think, one or two right. scores. So that was another close game. Could have gone either way. The French had a guy put in the bin, which probably cost them. I think Belgium scored just after that.
So, yeah.
A bit of an error from France, but which, I mean, we were almost prepping to play France. We had that pretty much nailed on in our heads that it would probably have been France that were going to beat Belgium. But again, as I say, it just kind of goes to show you can't.
Yeah.
You can't ever make assumptions because you're not sure. And a little bit of a shame we didn't get to play France again because, you know, the boys were very confident, as were the staff, that we'd have beaten them in the final. But you kind of want to, you know, just readdress that issue that, okay, well, they've beaten us, but we want to go out there and beat them again. So,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, missed opportunity, but ultimately doesn't really matter.
No, absolutely. And obviously, it's difficult to name names of players, but is there any particular players for you who you thought really stood out throughout the entire tournament? Obviously, it was a great team performance to go all the way and win. But was there a couple of names to perhaps watch out for in sevens in the future?
Really difficult. We sat and talked about this with staff and just said, who would your player of the tournament be? And we just kind of went, well, it could be about four or five. It really was one of those. When you say that your team performance is something maybe coaches don't always mean.
Yeah.
I really think none of us all, I think we all picked different people. And we just kind of said, well, they were good for that bit. Okay, they made a couple of mistakes in that bit, but actually it kind of just kept chopping and changing as to who was really performing when they needed to. So, in all credit to him, I think Aaron Myers as captain was outstanding. He's obviously played a lot of sevens.
Yeah.
Very experienced, does his basics well, works very, very hard. I thought the two boys that are full-time in terms of Sam Blanchett and Jack Walsh, he brought a huge amount of experience, which was great. And then I'd probably say Rory McConachy in terms of came off the bench in the semi and the final and kind of changed the game both times, to be honest, with how direct he was. And certainly the two scores in the final were classy. So he's been invited down to train with England Sevens this week and hopefully next week as well. So,
brilliant.
And that's the massive benefit. Not only is it just an experience for those guys and for the staff, but those links are now so close between the student game and, you know, an international Sevens. Obviously having Damien on board with his experience of the performance setup of England Sevens, that crossover is there in terms of a pathway and a route all the players, and if they take their opportunities and they put their hand up, then, you know, they're going to get looked at and they're going to get rewarded. So as a dual purpose tournament, I really think it's got a fantastic outcome there.
Fantastic. And is there any guys who you mentioned, Rory, who's now training with England, is there any others who sort of use this as a platform and they're looking towards a new stage in their career next year, perhaps, or next season? They're moving on to anything big?
Just trying to think who else. Most are still studying. So Rob Coote from Exeter and Tom Dowding both have got another year. Obviously, both involved with the Chiefs down there, which is great. They'd actually both played in the JP Morgan, the Chiefs on the Thursday before we left. So right. You know, they're knocking on the door in terms of professional rugby, which is excellent. The other boys, Sam Poynton, I know he's got another year at Loughborough, obviously kind of national one there. Jack Rossiter's got another year or two possibly at St Mary's, so he's down at Richmond playing there, national one. So yeah, you know, they're all, if they've not graduated already, they're all at that kind of level where, you know, it's just sitting below full-time professionalism.
Yeah.
and they're pushing hard for that, which is great. Freddie Clark's got another year. He's been training pre-season wise with London Scottish, and Bath have, you know, used him in the A-League previously. He actually turned down playing in the JP Morgan for Bath because he, you know, didn't want to risk getting injured before he left. So,
right.
Alex Davis has just signed from Loughborough to England 7, so he's now full-time with them. You know, that'd be his first year at international level full-time as a sevens player, which is fantastic. So yeah, you know, the top end of student rugby is I think so close to that professional level now. It's just about them taking their opportunities when they come and kind of still trying to balance getting a good degree as well.
Absolutely. And just the final question comes onto it nicely then. How, with students obviously not playing as much sevens rugby as 15s, how do you go about recruiting for a student's sevens team?
It was very much based on a lot of what we knew of ties already. You know, we were all at the Bucks tournament at Clifton, so we'd seen a lot of guys involved there. Obviously, kind of, you know, knew the pedigree of a number of guys, people like Aaron that have played for the Whalers on the circuit for years. We also took a side to the third leg of the GB7 series at Cowlin Bay. So selected a team of players to go up there to represent the England IPF charity side. And a few of the boys had actually been involved in legs 1 and 2 when it was more of the England full-time players as well. So, you know, we'd managed to see quite a lot of guys and actually just get that kind of gauge where they were in relation to, you know, I mean, they were playing against Carlin Isles at the third leg of the GB series, so
yeah.
You know, you get a pretty good picture of who's there or thereabouts, which is great. You know, I think we've got a really good base of those types of players, and I think it's really positive that there's so much more sevens across the summer now for those guys to keep developing and keep getting those experiences. And I think unis are, the sevens season maybe doesn't suit university rugby in as much as just the time frames, you know, they're in exams or they're not at uni. So I mean, certainly the students are, if you are looking at projects and how we can actually kind of develop that seven strand as a, not a separate entity, but, you know, to run in line with the Bucks program and the 15 stuff they do and actually make it feasible for universities to really push sevens as not a separate sport, but, you know, a dual purpose sport in effect. And really nailed that down. So yeah, hopefully those developments will kind of, you know, progress fairly quickly over the next 18 months and just keep pushing the student game forward.
Absolutely. Well, it seems to be working brilliantly well at the moment with such a successful summer and successful tournament. But thank you very much, Phil, for speaking to us and taking the time for that.
No, my pleasure. No, thank you for supporting us and putting the information out there. It's much, you know, greatly appreciated.
No problem at all, and congratulations once again.